Hi guys, welcome to another episode of Young Professional African Edition with your host, Jonathan Rwanyika.
And
Shaniel Mudli, equipping you with all the right tools to jumpstart your career in an African context by sharing experiences
and spreading the gospel of information.
With original music brought to you by Africa's own, Yuneel Bidiyachi.
I recently had the pleasure of completing a short course on feedback and development from the Center for Coaching, where our guest actually just so happens to be one of the founding directors. And I was amazed by how many misconceptions I had regarding feedback, both giving it and receiving it. So I'm extremely excited to have on the show today, Janine, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Appreciate being here.
Yeah. So, you know, hopefully you'll be able to help us demystify this concept of feedback, you know, so maybe you can start by providing a brief overview of what feedback is.
Okay. Well, maybe let me start with what it's not, perhaps, because that's often what people misunderstand. So praise is not feedback. Praise is praise. Criticism is also not feedback. It's criticism. And yet we often think, well, if we say to someone, that was a great presentation, we've given them feedback. And so I think perhaps the whole premise of what we teach is that is helpful to get that kind of information loop back, but it's not developing you. So by its nature, a feedback conversation done in a proper way is one that develops the other person and or develops the relationship. You don't always want to be thinking, okay, I'm developing my colleague when I give them feedback, but you might want to consider, well, if I'm able to really engage with them in a conversation around what to do with the feedback, that is, in fact, the most exciting part.
Okay. So what I'm hearing from you is that for it to be feedback, there should be some sort of constructive development that sort of is the outcome of that feedback, for it to be feedback.
Some constructive dialogue, yes. An action point.
So, Janine, maybe I can just start by a brief example of, you know, how I encountered feedback, right? So the first time I formally encountered feedback when I was working at Deloitte, and it was actually tied into our performance reviews, you know. So it was a performance review / feedback, you know, and it wasn't just me. I remember the people that I was working with, we always, you know, felt, you know, very defensive, you know, because it's also like defending how well you performed. Like, you have to prove your worth, you know, and that sort of like formed what I felt feedback was, which is slightly different to sort of like what you're, you know, unpacking.
That's such a great point. We do use that word around a performance review. And you'll notice, though, that we call it a performance review. We don't call it a performance feedback. And I think that that's exactly the point. A review is exactly that. A review is an analysis of what went well, what went badly, and a sort of a totaling up of, okay, so what's the end result? Whereas feedback, if the performance discussion is also developmental, it can make such a powerful difference. And I don't know your experience. I can't speak to your experience, but I know that when we've worked with organizations who've treated their performance discussions as reviews, where they literally discuss what went well, what went badly, and here's your total, basically, they've got a particular result, and often people walk out feeling really despondent or very happy. So there's that, you know, I did well, I got a 5, or I got a 2, and I feel sad, or, you know, but what most people don't know what to do. So there's a lovely Harvard article, and I'll have to look up the exact name of it, but it talks about that over 70% of all people who receive feedback say that they get the feedback, but they don't know what to do about it. So that's why I'll often coach people who said to me, oh, I've had this feedback for the last 10 years. And I'm like, well, that's not a good thing. You know, what have you done about this feedback that you're too abrasive or you're too this or that? And they're like, well, nothing. They don't ask me to do anything. They just tell me and then assume I'm going to go and do something. But people don't always know what to do after they've received feedback.
So what I'm sort of hearing from you is that, you know, feedback, you know, could potentially be broken on both sides, right? So the giver and also from the person receiving it, you know, because the person who for the past 10 years has been hearing the same feedback being given to them, I can imagine that, you know, they haven't been part of that conversation either. You know, maybe the person giving it hasn't asked them the question, what are your thoughts, as an example?
As an example, exactly. So in fact, there are many feedback trainings that train you how to stand and deliver the feedback, and they train the other person to just say, thank you, now go away and process it on your own. And that deliberately say, feedback is not a dialogue, it's a one-way stream of information. And I think that's what we try and share on this course that you are on, is that what starts to shift when you actually have a conversation around it, where not only do you ask or the person tells you their experience of you, but the person then asks you, so what was your experience of that situation? Because again, some amazing research in that same paper was that most people actually know what the feedback is before they get it. It's not a revelation. They know that they weren't on top form, or they know the meeting went on too long, or they know their performance wasn't great, but they don't know what to do about it. And so the feedback just confirms someone's own negative inner critic perception of themselves, and then they're stuck even more because they still have no idea of what to do about it.
Yeah. So not, you know, as a young professional in this corporate environment, with leaders who probably haven't had the benefit of attending, the course, that amazing course that I attended, what are some of the things that you can start doing as a young professional from the receiver side to make the feedback process more helpful for everyone? Are there some tools I can start implementing, you know, to sort of like improve the process?
I absolutely love that question, because it's something we don't actively cover on the course, and I'm now realizing we should. But yes, there absolutely are. So the first thing is ask for feedback as often as you can. Step one, ask for feedback. Because the more you ask for feedback, the more people are going to realize, hey, this dude's really keen for feedback. I will start giving it to them. And of course, the way you engage with the feedback, by remaining open and curious, will encourage people to feel that you are open and curious to it. What you can do that would be very supportive for you is two things. Is number one, if you feel the feedback might be going to be hard to receive, then think of your own level of comfort first, and think, in what situation and context would I feel most comfortable to receive this feedback? So take care of your context, because where we are, you know, so don't ask the person in the lift in front of other people for feedback if you know it was a tough meeting and perhaps it didn't go that well, you know. Request a time, you know, set the scene for yourself. So own that part of the process. A lot of our training goes to the person who's giving the feedback, and we train them, you must set the scene. But in fact, if you're the one asking for it, you too should actually say, what do I need so that I'm most comfortable?
Wow.
So that's the first one. Yeah. Sorry, I'll pause there.
Yeah, no, I think that's a fantastic point. And you know, I want you to finish your second point, but you know, I have this burning question, because now we're really deep in the how we can improve feedback, how we can make feedback better. But maybe why is it important to have the feedback? You know, maybe that might not be clear to someone listening. Like why is feedback important? Why is it something I need to be creating good environments for and asking for? Why can't I just sit down and, you know, and just work?
All right. So I'll finish my second point first, and then I'll get to that burning question, because I love that one as well. Okay. All right. So the second point was, when you've asked for feedback, don't let them get away with just giving you, oh, yeah, no, that went well. Which is why the context is so important. You're not looking for praise or criticism. You're looking for feedback. So then can you guide it into a more developmental conversation? So for example, if they say, well, that presentation went on a little bit, it was a bit dreary, okay? And you say, but what does that mean exactly? You know, could you give me some data points? And again, depending on the industry, some Deloitte's might respond well to something like data points. And then, but I don't know. But, and then, so that they're giving you data, not feelings, because their experience of it being long or short is their experience. Not everybody may have thought that. So rather ask them, and they might say, well, the slide was a little busy and you went on about that slide for a long time, longer than was probably necessary. Okay. But then the most important point of the conversation is for you to say, what is it that I need to do in order to change that or in order to improve? And that's where you can pull the developmental comment from the person. Don't let them just sit with giving you the information. You must pull the development from them. And then, not only that, it's the feedback loop about saying, okay, so you're saying it should be shorter. What is your recommendation for how best to learn how to make up slides? You know, how did you get it right? And they might say, well, you know what? Next time I'll mentor you. Or they might say, this is the person I went to. But you're getting input from them. And then if you're really diligent and you really want this to work, you set up a feedback loop as well. And you say, okay, I really appreciate that. And you make sure you go back to the person a month or two or a week or however long later, and you say, you know, about that feedback you gave me, I went, I did this, and this is what I learned. Thank you very much.
Wow. Oh, that's brilliant, Janine. And, you know, I can think of the many times I love this conversation right now, because it's giving the agency back to the person who I feel oftentimes feels like, you know, maybe your leader, you know, doesn't care that much about you, or, you know, you feel alone. You know, I think there is value in, you know, taking your agency and, you know, taking control of this feedback process. Yeah. Anyway, that's just a thought that came through my head. But why is it important, Janine? Yeah.
Why is it important? Well, perhaps this links to that exact burning question you had. Because more and more people, particularly the youth of today, again, all the research points that people will leave an organization not for the money, but because they don't feel that they are growing. Having said that, learning and growing seems to be the most important thing for young professionals or young anybody's at this point. People leave any position these days if they don't feel seen and if they don't feel like they're growing and expanding as a person. So as sort of the older generation, it's important for the older generation to understand this, number one. And number two, to see how this kind of feedback, where it includes a developmental edge to it, can both make you as the person giving it and supporting the other person to grow feel really good, because we get a warm, fuzzy feeling by helping people, but It also lets the young professional grow faster, and then they are more likely to stay. So why is it important to get it? Number one is you will feel more alive, and you will feel more purposeful and engaged with both your work and also life in general, because the human soul wants to grow. That's just the way we are as humans. So that's important. The other thing is, though, is that people watch each other. We watch what we do, not what we say. And so if people around you start looking at this and they're going, you know what, she got that really great input about how to do slides. I can see her presentations on cruising. You know, the management's looking at her going, wow, because she's giving them a feedback loop. And it's not schmoozing at all. It's dedication. It's showing, you know, what you're up to. But it's allowing for a feedback loop. Other people may start being less afraid to request feedback or to be in feedback situations. I was actually teaching on a mentor program in Switzerland, and there was a lady, a young professional engineer, who was almost ill with anxiety because we had set up a feedback process for the cohort. They're in a cohort, they developed trust, they were going to give each other feedback as part of a structured program, kept very safe and everything. When we checked in, she was like, I haven't slept for 2 days. I'm wow. So terrified. I was nearly ill with terror of what are people going to say to me. And when we unpacked it, she was terrified that people would tell her that she's awful and terrible. Meanwhile, of course, she's amazing. Nobody had anything negative to say, but her anxiety and her own lack of self-confidence meant that she was almost ill about entering a feedback process that was very carefully set up to be safe, but she couldn't trust it. So it's not easy to ask for feedback, and it's not easy to receive feedback, never mind giving it.
Yeah. There's something very profound. I remember you mentioned in our course that, you know, the feedback process is, there are emotions involved in the process, you know. And I think once I got a grip of that, you know, I understood that those feelings, the highs and the lows that come from it, are to be expected, you know, because it is an emotional event. So yeah, maybe just unpack that a little bit for someone, unless I already fully unpacked it. You know, the actual event of giving feedback, how can a young professional navigate maybe just the emotions that come with it?
Mm. Thanks for that one. Yes. So let me... I'm still hooked on this. Why is it important to get feedback? The last thing that I haven't yet said, and then I'll go to this.
Okay.
Is that it has also been shown that teams, work teams that give and receive feedback as a regular practice without waiting for quarterly or waiting for conflict before they give and receive, are far more successful, way more successful than teams who do not have a feedback culture. So if it's easy for you to turn to a colleague and say, you know, that client presentation was, or you know, our meeting, you know, as well, but, you know, and have a conversation about shorter feedback loops that with the developmental edge, it's unbelievable impact on performance. So that's one of the key performance differences of successful teams to not successful teams.
Amazing.
Okay. So that's the business case for it. Success. Yeah. Always a good business. Okay, the emotions. Yes. So here's the thing. Every single person will go through an emotional curve when they receive feedback. And sometimes we flash through that curve so quickly that we say, oh, I don't struggle with feedback. But we do still go through the processes. It's actually a very interesting situation. So, and your job when you are giving feedback is to escort somebody through this curve. this emotional curve of acceptance. So we call it the feedback acceptance curve, just to call it something. But essentially what we look at is what's underneath. Feedback isn't just a technique that you do to somebody. It's a process that you need to escort somebody through, ideally skillfully. But even if you do it on a more technical level, it can be done. So, because the first thing is, particularly if it's fresh feedback, or even if it's feedback about something the person knew but they were hoping nobody had noticed, there's a certain amount of shock and even denial initially. And in the beginning, there's also often a shame response because, oh, I've been exposed. I'm feeling exposed. Now that, depending on your personality, might be really triggering and difficult for somebody. So expect that somebody might go, no, you know, and the initial thing might be what? Or freeze. And then there's another phase of rejection and resistance. Again, it might pass very quickly, but it might not. In fact, you know what? I'm going to tell the story using a positive example, because one of the most difficult feedbacks people have to receive is positive feedback. Okay, amazing. Yep. You were amazing. People immediately, they often get shocked. They often get a bigger shock to be told they were amazing. And sometimes it calls forth a shame response as well, because some of us have been told, don't be too powerful, don't be too good, don't be too sharp, don't be too excellent. So there's some of that, or embarrassment perhaps. So a lot of people, no, even a silly thing like a compliment, oh no, that's an old dress, you know, people try and push it away.
Yeah.
And then the rejection and the resistance, no, I'm not so great, the team was involved, they don't. That's showing that rejection. But if you stay with someone and say, no, but really, you know, that the way you handled that difficult client was really, really amazing. I just really want to sit there and say, but what could we cultivate? What could you learn and develop from that? That's how one helps somebody shift away from the embarrassment of, oh, I was amazing, to like even resisting it, which some people can't hear how wonderful they are. Into the next phase, the third phase is hesitation and exploration. And say, but just sit in it for a bit, knowing that you did really, really well, or just accept it. What does that say about your skills, your capacity, your talents that perhaps you haven't really recognized? And we'd love to see more of that, or something like that. And wow. Then get them to sit in that space. And only then can you expect someone to be ready to move to the fourth phase, which is acceptance and commitment.
Well, I resonate with that one extremely, Janine. A positive compliment is very difficult for me to take, and probably a lot of other young professionals, for all the reasons you just mentioned. But yeah, you know, and this is sort of the feelings I got throughout the course. You know, I was like, you know, as we went through the whole feedback process, what it's about, you know, what the event is like, there were always these aha moments that I have never really thought about. And I will try my best to sit in the positive feedback a bit more, Janine. I'll promise you that.
I hope you do. But don't just sit there, because yeah. That's a mistake you make. It's not about sitting in it and basking in the glow. It's about saying, if I can own the fact that I have this wonderful capacity, how do I develop it further? And how do I enroll the person perhaps who gave me, so I'm not doing it on my own. How do I develop it? How do I grow even further? How could I, because then each time you grow, you're also growing your network of support. Because as young professionals in particular, support is really important. Well, even, can I say, as older professionals, support is really important. Yeah. So it's the acceptance and commitment. I'm committing not just to myself and say, oh, I'll do more of that. No, really grow it and say, but how do I cause this talent to blossom further? And how can I get the other person perhaps, and we don't want to impose onerous things on them, but to bring more to the conversation as well.
Okay, so clearly feedback has a lot of benefits, and there are a lot of misconceptions around it. What are some of the tools or like resources that a young professional can lean on, you know, that doesn't have access to a coach? And maybe while we're on coaches, is having a coach something you would recommend for everyone? Like, who needs a coach?
Okay, let's see if I can combine this. You're skillful at merging two questions in one. All right. So, let's see. So I would say a young professional certainly needs a support and development network. I always ask my coaches, who is your mentor? So that I would say having a mentor, either within or without the business that you're in, is incredibly helpful. If you don't have a mentor yet, then see if you can find one. So that would be the first thing. Because mentors can give direct advice. They share their stories and they make you feel like, you know what, if they did it, I can do it. So mentoring is important. What a coach would bring you is, let's say you do get some feedback or something happens at work and you don't quite know how to navigate it. What's so important is that a coach is able to sit and help you process through, for example, that emotional curve of rejection or resistance or that hesitation of how do I take this further? Am I doing the right thing? Your coach gets to know you, the person, and would support you on how to work with the feedback. Because in the workplace, we are getting feedback loops all the time. We are. We're getting signals from people. So a coach can help one unpack it. And, you know, coaching is expensive, but it's also not expensive if you're clever. Because, you know, coaches who've just graduated, let's say, from a two-year program like the one we teach, they are willing to work for less because they are building their clientele and their experience. So, you know, network, reach out, come to institutions that teach and do good, generate good graduates. Find out if there's a coach who's perhaps willing to work for what it is you can afford. And also ask your organization, because most organizations now are incredibly open to providing a coach. What you do need to do, though, is get the most out of it. And as I say, with this figure that I only saw the other day about how few people know what to do with their feedback, they just don't know what to do with it. They get it and they understand it and they even accept it, but then they don't change their behaviors. Why? Because changing a behavior is incredibly difficult and often needs support of somebody. And that's where a coach is particularly helpful, to shift your underlying patterns of behavior. But this is more about feedback than coaching. So your question was?
A young professional that wants to get to know more about feedback and how they can improve. Where can they start?
There are books about giving and receiving feedback. I'd say come on our one-day course. It's really affordable.
Yeah.
Because the problem is you read look, there are good books. I will share some references with you. For me, it's the simple thing of make it a dialogue. It's not a one-way conversation.
So my last question is, what advice, you know, in parting would you leave for young professionals? It could be anything that you would like to leave us to speak.
In parting, I'd like you to do what we call a self-observation and see if you can notice any kind of feedback loop that's coming your way. And when you notice sort of even a throwaway comment or something that catches your curiosity, particularly about something about yourself that you're not, that's a bit new to you, like you didn't expect that comment, then find a moment where it's appropriate and actually go to that person and say, you know, I'd love to understand that comment you made just a little bit more. And particularly the positive ones, because why always focus on our weakness? Go to your strengths and grow them. As young professionals, you have so many strengths and often we don't trust our strengths. So it might be a good idea to focus first on the positive little praises that you get, if we're going to keep that, it's a praise, and then go there and make it a feedback conversation by asking for to unpack it a little bit more, and then own it and think, what's the action step I can take to do more of that?
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of Young Professional African Edition. If you haven't already, please subscribe to the show on Apple Music, Spotify, or whatever platform that you use to listen to podcasts.
And if you enjoyed the show, give us a like and a follow. Find us on Twitter and Instagram at YP_Africa. That's YP_Africa. And if you've missed an episode, don't stress. You can catch up on our YouTube channel, YP_Africa. Like and subscribe, guys. Like and subscribe.
That's it from us, guys. See you next week.